In the Bible, of course, a lot of times heaven is seen as a banquet, or banquets are used as a sort of a foretaste of heaven. And it makes sense if you think about, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, that's because hospitality and the meal and everything was important to the people of Hebrew times and that, or of the biblical times, and that's true. If you think about it, most people in those days, as are most people in the world today, not in the United States, unfortunately, but most people in those days, they were pretty much lived from day to day. They were subsistence farmers, possibly, or some kind of day laborers. We see day laborers in the New Testament sometimes. And so they would pretty much live from day to day. Think about their normal day would be going out, trying to scratch a living out of the soil of the Holy Land, which isn't that good. And they would work all day, and they'd come home, and they'd probably have a meal of barley loaves or something like that. That was kind of the poor person's food in those days. And so it made sense when there was a time for some kind of celebration, like a wedding, that they would be, you know, they would do the best they can and make a big deal out of that meal. It wasn't, they didn't get a chance to make a big deal out of eating that often. And of course, then when God talks about his banquet in the book of Isaiah, because really that's what that reading is talking about, what we might call the heavenly banquet on this mountain. It's the mountain of God, but it's also when God's kingdom is established in its fullness. He says there is going to be a feast, and not just any kind of feast, a feast of, it says in our translation, juicy, rich foods. And actually, my Old Testament teacher, who really, he liked good food like a lot of us do, and so this was one of his favorite verses. He said, it actually says fat things. It says that God will provide on this mountain a feast of fat things. Doesn't that sound great? You know, everything, that's God's banquet. And then the expression in Hebrew is very big on those kind of concrete expressions. There's one time where it says that people hid their faces from God's anger. And actually what it says is they hid their faces from the glow of his nose, which, so I suppose if his nose is glowing, he's pretty angry. But the expression for the wine is wine on the leaves, and I'm not sure what that means. They probably did, but it's the best wines too. So fat things and the best wines, this is what God's going to provide. And he's going to remove the veil that veils all peoples, the thing that keeps us from God, and we will see God face to face. And it will be wonderful. And that's I always like, just in general, the depiction of heaven as a celebration. And but for the people of biblical times, I'm sure a feast of fat things was a great way to refer to it. And Jesus also refers to, well, his first miracle in John's gospel is at a wedding feast. And here he refers to the king's wedding feast. And Jesus is kind of more directly making this about God. The king is God. He invites everybody and sends out the invitation. And first the people don't come. And then the people kill the messengers. And those who want to kind of allegorize it, the messengers are the law, are the prophets, and that kind of thing. Okay, that's possible. But then Jesus comes and invites everybody. He invites everyone to the banquet. And that's part of what he shows in the Gospels, is that everyone is invited. Everyone is invited to this banquet, to God's wonderful banquet, the banquet of fat things and the best wines. We are all invited. And then we have that addition there, or that ending, epilogue, if you will, with the one person without the wedding garment. Well, they'll tell us, and I think this is probably true, that in the early days of the church, and sometimes now they will do it too, but most of the people, certainly in the first couple hundred years of the church, came in as adult catechumens, and they would be instructed, and this was a lengthy thing that makes RCIA look like a weekend seminar or something, because it would take like maybe 3 years of extensive instruction. And during the, they were allowed to come and stay during the through the liturgy of the word, but then when the liturgy of the Eucharist came, they went out. And as I say, I've been in parishes in other dioceses that do this. They'll go out for their own, for some kind of instruction. As the symbolic was, the liturgy of the Eucharist concludes with communion, and this person was not in communion yet. And so they were not there. They had not been baptized. So the wedding garment kind of refers to the baptismal garment. And so that's part of it. I think too, that's probably a reference, that we're talking, to the Eucharist, but also I think too that you need to be properly, it's Jesus invites everybody, but they have to be sort of properly disposed and ready to be at this banquet. Because this banquet ultimately, this one that we take place in, that we takes place here and that we participate in, this banquet is the heavenly banquet. We partake of this. This is the banquet where Jesus is host. Jesus is also meal. And we are the guests of that banquet, so we participate in it here. The celebration that takes place around God's throne. We participate in that, not in its fullness, but that's what we'll get in the next life. But God invites us to this banquet, and we are here. If we are ready, if we are properly disposed, and so it is a wonderful thing to remember that heavenly banquet is not something that starts in the future for us. That heavenly banquet is here and now. And it's important to remember. This meal where Jesus offers us his very self to us, first he offers his body for us as sacrifice to the Father, then he offers himself to us as meal. This is a real thing. This is something that we are called to and can participate in. That's what was given the church. And so indeed this meal is something that it unites us, it feeds us, it feeds our spirit, but most of all it gives us a foretaste of the celebration that will take place around the throne of heaven, around God's throne, and reminds us that God, that heaven is indeed a celebration of God, a celebration of Jesus, His Son, but most of all, a celebration of life eternal for us with our Father and with Jesus, our Lord.